If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light and the most radiant one. And welcome to the voice of the Axar Command. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and I'm merged with my celestial counterpart, Commander Axar. Tonight we'll be speaking once again as one voice, addressing the many celestial emissaries that are here on Earth assignment. Those of you who have come from many, many distant worlds and distant interdimensional planes to be of service at this time to this planet. As she moves into the greatest hour, her time of exaltation, as she truly moves into the higher overlays that are now beginning to displace the molecules of one-dimensional outpicturing with those of a higher and lovelier outpicturing. I'm so happy to be able to speak to you this evening. I'm very excited. Finally got my phone working after a whole week without a phone. So those of you who have tried to call me, that's why you couldn't get me. Anyway, I would like to go a little bit into several topics tonight. The first one being, how in the world do we receive information from the higher forces of light, and especially with regard to the Axar Command? All of you are receiving information. You just may not have reference points for how that's received. First of all, know that what you sometimes interpret as being your own voice speaking to you in your own head or your own thoughts are very, very often inspired by your spiritual family or your spiritual upline, as I like to call it. You always have masters, angels, teachers, guides, benefactors, and beings from many dimensional perspectives, overlays. My goodness, if you could see into the space that's seemingly empty around you, you would be amazed to see the layers within layers and worlds within worlds that inhabit this so-called empty space. I think some of you must know that already. But just as a reminder, know that we live in a many and one universe. Even though God is one, and God is appearing as the many, and then delighting in awakening to the oneness once again, in consciousness, and we are that one, outpicturing as this diversity that we call humanity, and beings from many worlds which form universal man, still, we are one. And in that process, everything in the universe communicates because God communicates. And God speaks through anything and everything. In fact, as willing as we are to listen, just that willing will we be able to receive the willingness of the other side, which is also eager to communicate with us. So best of all, discern the messages that come through you in terms of the content rather than trying to be too mental about it all. Put down content, whatever you receive, and then evaluate it. See if the information works. You know, if it works and works well and works to inspire and uplift and empower you, it doesn't much matter where it comes from. And you discern, again, the truth by knowing that when you are in connection with truth, there is a sensation or an experience of freedom. The truth sets you free. It liberates. It releases energy. It's an upsurge of enthusiasm, inspiration, and a certain sense of empowerment, which you'll learn to recognize after a while. All negative energy constricts, confines, closes down, depresses, and has a heaviness to it, an oppressive sense of frequency to it. And so those are very, very clear indications. Your heart will never lie. Your heart, your spiritual heart, is where God has seated his throne inside you. And therefore, when you are in attunement with the loving space within you that you would call your spiritual heart, and there's a sense of open goodwill towards all, you can call that the state of being centered, or centered in the heart, and moving from the heart. Then all you need to do is stay present with your direct experience, stay in the truth as you know it, and share from your heart space, and you're in very, very good territory. Technically speaking, depending upon your level of spiritual initiation or light infusion and integration, you'll be contacted in a variety of ways. First of all, when working with the Ashtar Command, we generally utilize what is called a tensor beam. A tensor beam is an energy relay that taps into the portion of the brain called the tensor. Usually when that type of energy comes over you, you'll have a sense of, I generally find my body beginning to rock, like the dovening you'll see sometimes in the Jewish tabernacle. It just naturally begins to rock back and forth. The energy is very steady in the sense that you'll have a continual relay of knowingness without any thought process. Very often when I'm receiving information, I'll be driving a car, sitting very still, and that energy will just start to flood my mind with informational knowingness, I would say, would be the best way, because you don't hear a voice. It's nothing psychic. It's a receiving of an energy sending. I knew of a great adept that actually I was a friend of the family for many, many years. Her name was Helena Rurik, and she was the wife of the great Russian explorer Nicholas Rurik. And the Brotherhood of Light, the Trans-Himalayan Brotherhood of Shambhala, did experiments with this marvelous woman, the likes of which had not been done before to any human being. She was called by the Brotherhood their White Tara, and a precious, precious Russian woman. And she was trained to receive the sendings of the rays of each one of the brothers, the masters, who were dwelling and are dwelling in Shambhala, which is an actual location in the Himalayas, in slightly out of this dimensional vibratory frequency in the etheric physical matter, but it's nevertheless is physical. But she would have to go about her daily activities and be able to identify which of the brothers or sisters in the Brotherhood was sending her a particular ray of information. She had to locate it in her body. She had to be able to sense their particular energy signature. And then she had to be able to identify where they were working in Shambhala. Were they working in the kitchen, in the laboratory? Were they in a process of sending mentally or from another level of the consciousness? And she was trained in that way to receive from all the different teachers. My original training was much like that as well. In a period of time in the early 70s, I was trained to identify the different rays of the different masters, to be able to bring forward poetry, song, which I often would burst into spontaneous song. I was trained to receive the rays of the different masters in terms of their qualities, the seven different rays and their qualifications, which I'll go into at another show. But each one was quite different and quite interesting. And I was trained in that manner originally to be able to access multidimensional sendings, much like Helen O'Rourke was. And so that is something that some of you have also perhaps experienced. Those of you who work with the command, for example, when I was first being trained to receive from the Ashtar Command, I would select a particular commander, and I would be told to sit quietly and attune to that consciousness, and then began to take mental impressions of what I felt was being communicated. This is not channeling, because we don't want you to go into a receiver state which would be passive in any way. What we are working for is your cognitive process of grasping a telepathic or telethought transmission. Now, these telethought transmissions do not always come in language. Usually this is the interpretation that the receiver places upon an energy sending. The information, bear in mind, has to come through your human data banks. It has to go through your training, your library of knowledge. That's why sometimes you find information that doesn't have very much substance to it, because the recipient hasn't done very much study, hasn't built in a body of information that the energy can flow through. A good scientist, for example, would bring forward very good information along the scientific lines. A spiritual teacher such as myself would bring information through having to do with spiritual teachings and spirituality. And likewise, each one of us in our area of expertise, our area that we love to dwell in, will receive information that is of that particular encodement, let's say. We are encoded to receive particular information, very much like the round hole receives the round sending and the square hole receives the square sending. You can't really mix the two. Our energy alignments are very much like puzzle pieces that open and receive similar packets and downloadings of information. And that keeps it protected also, because the unprepared cannot receive the higher information. It's not given and divulged to people who would misuse it or abuse it. So a person who is going to receive very, very high levels of information, needless to say, would have a pure heart, a pure consciousness, and a very, very close and intimate relationship with the beloved Lord within. So the love walk, the quality of love that we express in our daily lives, is a prerequisite for a pure heart. In fact, it's the very indication of a pure heart. When all you see around you is the face of the beloved, then you know your heart is pure. So we are all working to arrive at that state. And when we do arrive at that state, we will probably not recognize it, because we will be so other-focused that we won't even be aware of ourselves at all. And that is another indication of a pure heart, is that you become simply one who is here to love and serve, and you really don't give much thought to yourself at all. So back to the receivership. We spoke of the tensor beam, and the information then can flow in a symbol, a symbolic representation. In the early years, I used to receive a symbol, and then it would be up to me to interpret it. You will notice in your training that you will go through, perhaps as I have, training in every single one of these things that I will be sharing with you. And so I'm pretty experienced with them all. But the light symbol, which we have a good representation of that on the earth in terms of the crop circles. There you have a symbol that communicates multidimensionally light and sound frequencies and encodements, and it speaks to a level of the brain that and the consciousness that is nonlinear. You hang out with the crop circles, and they impart their energetic signature and knowledge into you subliminally and also into the earth. The grid coordinates and geometric patterns sometimes will appear also. Sometimes these are actual principles that exist on a higher level that are communicated in a holon, as it were, that downloads into the conscious awareness. And then it comes out in your work or in your teachings or your writings or whatever at some other point. Almost everyone dreams dreams. The dreams can be from very many levels. Generally, the colored dreams, the dreams in which you're flying, the dreams in which you're singing and praising God and serving others, these would be real experiences in what we would call the divine realms. And those would be the ones you would want to really make and pay attention to. Any dream with God, with the Lord, in any of his wonderful divine forms would be a dream to remember. Those of you who are blessed to have dreams, for example, of Christ or Satya Sai Baba, these are real experiences on the inner realms with great, great sons of God, great embodiments of the divine principle, in the case of Sai Baba, for example. Then you have dreams, which are astral projections. This is where the astral body will externalize, usually from your physical form, which you can then see lying in the bed. Very often people have that experience when they're having operative procedures in a hospital or near-death experiences. They will externalize in their astral body and hover over their inert forms. That's not a very high manifestation because it's just your astral body. And the astral body contains your feelings, your emotions, and your imagination. Higher than that is soul travel, or I like to say awareness expansion, which is more accurate. Awareness expansion in soul always has a radiatory sense to it. It's like being in the center of the hub and having all that you are involved with all encircling you like so many spokes on a bicycle wheel. All the timelines, all the many aspects of the oversoul can be accessed from this point in the center. Basically, you soul travel anytime you, what can I give as a good example? Let's say you are in a situation which you are bored, and you take a little mosey into another place in your mind. Let's say you see yourself walking in a garden somewhere, let's say with the Lord. Let's put it up in the higher realms. That would be a form of soul travel. When you move your awareness to a place other than where you are located physically, even the slightest degree, that's a form of soul travel. When you're trained in soul travel, you can actually expand your awareness and become conscious on any level in the vastness of the cosmos. There's the inner realms that you will traverse for a very long time that you've created out of your own life, your thoughts, your feelings, your moods, and your behavior. And then at some point, you go beyond your own personal universes and you go into the outer God worlds. And yes, there are inner God worlds and outer God worlds. And God is both personal within you and impersonal, beyond name and form, such as we know it. So you always have that inner and outer aspect in the divine worlds. Awareness expansion is a wonderful way to extend your sense of consciousness, your perception, just to sit quietly and begin to expand from your, say your spiritual heart or your third eye, however you like to place the consciousness. It doesn't much matter because you're going to be operating in a unified field of the heart, unified with all the chakras anyway. So if you visualize yourself as if you were a golden sun, the sun being in the center of your chest, and you just begin to breathe and allow that radiatory action to expand in a circle all around until all of the chakras are unified. And you're standing then in a golden circle, an orb of light. And then there's no reason to stop expanding. You can just keep expanding and expanding and expanding the sense of self. Because that's actually what we're doing. We are expanding and enlarging our territory, so to speak, as we move and occupy the land of our inheritance, which is a many-in-one universe within universe, worlds within worlds, and realms within realms, in which we move as the living sons of the living God. So this is the glory that we have as we begin to move into the true self. This life here becomes very monochromatic once you've had a glimpse of the inner worlds of God. So back to the dreams, when you have black and white dreams, for example, or dreams in which things are distorted or threatening or things of that nature, generally these are what we would call pickles and ice cream kind of dreams in the sense that they are things being worked out that have been unresolved in the daytime or perhaps subconscious fears and things of this nature. There's not much going on there really except your own fantasies chasing each other. You don't need to pay much attention to them. But prophetic dreams are interesting, and those of you who are receiving prophetic dreams, some of you are earth empaths, some of you can see things that are looming on the event horizon. Generally, prophets are shown what's going to happen as potentialities. Your job then is to pray God's will and God's plan into that scenario. If it's a dark and dire one, we can change with prayer and with divine grace any negative scenario. We do have authority over that when we're functioning from the Christ over self. In fact, those of you functioning from Christ consciousness and the Christ over self, it is your very duty to intercede on behalf of this earth and humanity in blocking the agendas of the dark forces and releasing the divine hand of intervention and grace, which will never come and violate us. We have to evoke divine power and divine grace. The dark forces are all over the place, but the divine realms are called forth and evoked, and then we speak the words that need to be spoken and take authority over those areas. For example, those of you in those fire areas, you could say something like this: I take authority at this time in the name of the Christ, and I command you fire elementals to come into peace now in the name of Jesus, or something of that nature, where you begin to actually direct some of these destructive forces to stop ravaging and destroying. They are basically unconscious little elementals of earth, wind, fire, water, and ether. They respond very much to human emotions, human thoughts, and human misaligned energy. So the more chaotic humanity becomes, the more the elementals begin to act out, so to speak. And they can be very, very destructive. So we have been given custodianship and dominion on this earth, and we do have a right to speak God's plan, which is never to destroy, but always to give life. So don't feel like you are without power when you're in a situation of floods or terrible winds or storms or cyclones. You can direct a beam of love from your heart in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Christ, in the name of the Beloved, right into the heart of a hurricane and say, peace, be still. Just like Jesus calmed the waters when he was out on the boat with his disciples and there was a terrible storm and the ship was in danger of capsizing. And he simply stood up and rebuked the winds and said, peace, be still. We have that power too, and we are being called to use it, particularly now as we watch many, many events coming forward. We don't have to have destruction. We don't have to have terrible things happening. Why do you think very few of the negative plots have actually come to pass? Many times it's because of the prayer of many, many prophetic people who know how to operate in the higher spiritual gifts and speak the word that needs to be spoken and intercede and pray on behalf of humanity and certain areas of the world where terrible things are happening. So I do release and empower you to go forth and to begin to learn how to operate in those levels so that you can walk more as a conscious bearer of light on this planet. The other form of a way that information comes is in a light pictogram. This can involve forms of higher seership. It can come as visions or actual clairvoyance, where you see clearly into a particular portion of the plan that is being revealed to you energetically or in terms of a overall picture. Another form of receivership is inner dictation. This used to be called in the olden days inner locution or clair audience, which means clear inner hearing. Inner dictation is how, for example, Helen Schuckman received A Course in Miracles. She heard this deep voice, which she identified after a while as Jesus, and also the voice identified itself as Jesus. And she was given these wonderful books called A Course in Miracles over a period of 7 years of taking dictation in a stenographic notebook in shorthand, shorthand? Yeah, shorthand. And she could stop it at any time, and whenever she did, it would resume exactly where she had left off. And any of you who have studied this magnificent three books, now they're published into one big book, can really know what exquisite information, and much of it written in iambic pentameter, which is the ancient Shakespearean metric prose. It is just so beautiful. Then you have another form of receivership, which is like a ticker tape. You know, the crawl that you see underneath your newsreel on your television. It looks like that, but it goes across your forehead. Personally, I have not received in this manner. I've received in these other ways, but I've never personally received the ticker tape kind of information. But a spiritual teacher that I work very closely with, this is how he receives. And he has described it as a script that he just simply has to read as it passes before his eyes. And sometimes it's funny, when he's giving a seminar, he'll stop because he'll say, well, they just pulled my script. So that's another form of receivership. These usually involve soul impressions, a soul impression. And when I say soul, that's not a very good term, because many people liken soul and atma and spirit as one and the same thing, and they're really not. So I'm going to use a more precise term. I'm going to say your buddhic body, which is your intellect chief, or your jnana sharira, as it would be called in Sanskrit. It is the vehicle that enables you as a spiritual being upon the higher planes to communicate to yourself at the highest possible level in the human body, you know, short of speaking from your I Am presence or your oversoul. But it's a very high form of spiritual integration we can receive through the soul body. Another way that we receive information, very often from the Ashtar Command, you'll experience this, is a downloading of ringing in your ears. Now, many of you know that I'm a practitioner of what is called the teachings of light and sound through the movement of spiritual inner awareness, and we're taught to identify our positioning on the inner planes in terms of specific sounds and specific colors. But in this instance, I'm not referring to that, which would be a form of soul travel. What I am referring to is what happens sometimes. I'm sure you all can remember a time when you felt like someone had plugged in a sound device in your ear. You had that plugged-in feeling, and then all of a sudden you heard this ringing inside your head. Sometimes it sounds like Morse code. Personally, I have never received the Morse code type of experience, but there are some people who have. So for your benefit, I will include it here. The ringing is a downloading of so much information that just a little brief downloading of this ringing or a particular light pictogram, and that could come out in a series of books, it could come out in a series of discourses or dialogues and talks that you might be giving, and you'll wonder, my goodness, where did that information come from? Well, it was downloaded into you beyond the realms that are limited by time and space. So that's a very common way that people do receive information. Another way, which happened to me, by the way, in an interesting form, I, as many of you know, absolutely love the book, The Keys of Enoch by Dr. J.J. Hertak. It's my absolute favorite book in the whole world. And it's a book that I found that, like the Bible, it is alive, it lives, and it opens up quantum corridors of light that ever unfold into more and more and deeper informational impartation as you hang out with it. It's a good book to go and have a nap with and put it on your solar plexus. I personally like to park it on the bed, you know, the bed, have like a little thing over my bed where I can stick books, at least I did in my other room. And I would put the Keys of Enoch right there over my crown chakra. So when I was sleeping, it would be right there. Well, one night I had an experience of being up on the inner planes, and someone was inserting something into the top of my head, and I was it wasn't painful or anything like that. But it was infusing what I later found out were the ECOR, I-C-O-R, codes, which is mentioned in the keys, which actually adjust the cerebral spinal fluid so that it can receive of a more crystalline quality. It actually, we are becoming crystalline in our blood, in our lymphatic systems, in our bones. Everything is becoming crystalline. So in that sense, the crystal skulls were prophetic of what we shall all have eventually, which will be crystalline skulls. Crystalline, again, as I said, everything in our body is going to be formed of beautiful, beautiful geometrically formed crystalline substances that are connected into a beautiful tapestry of radiance and immortality. So when I awakened in the morning, I had a complete gestalting of understanding of the keys of Enoch. It was just inside me completely. And I began to speak like that for a period of time, which was quite interesting. That has mellowed out now since years have passed. But for a while, I was talking in a way that very few people could understand what I was saying. I understood what I was saying, but few others, I think, could. So it takes a while sometimes for the information that's received at a very, very high level to begin to synthesize and synergize with the information that is common to this level. And if we can't communicate it in a way that other people can understand it, then it's going to kind of be hard for them to apply it. So there is that process of integrating information. Then we have the highest form of impartation that I'm aware of, which would be called straight knowledge. And Helena Rurick spoke about this a great deal. If you read her 14, 15 books called the Agni Yoga series, the teachings of living ethics, or Agni Yoga as she called them, is the yoga of fiery synthesis, which will be for the next root race. And it involves the synthesis of all the various chakra centers in the body and the ability to receive directly without any intermediary straight knowledge. Straight knowledge would best be understood in our common understanding in the world today as operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. This is how sacred scripture, for example, is received. And that's called the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the prophetic word, which prophecy is the ability to build up, strengthen, encourage, and comfort. And it's not being a psychic, but it's being someone who can speak God's plan clearly in alignment with his word. It will never contradict scriptural writings, which are inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it will speak truth into a situation or into a person's life that you could say would be like God's directives to them. And many of us operate in the prophetic without really understanding that that's what we're doing. We do that when we suddenly have a very clear sense of knowing about somebody and an inner push to share it. I find that the Holy Spirit will nudge me, and I will just find this energy rising up from my innermost being, and it will come out in something very, very beautiful and empowering for a person. Prophetic utterance is generally very, very positive. There were great prophets in the olden days that gave dire warnings, and I'm not referring to that. A prophet operating under the office of what we call a prophet, like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Daniel, one of the great, great prophets in the Bible, or the sage Vashishta and some of the other Vedic sages. That's different. That's an office that is specifically given you and a mantle of authority to be the direct spokesperson for God or the higher hierarchical forces of light. I'm not referring to that. But what I am referring to is the fact that all of us are to prophesy now. In other words, we are to build each other up. We are to comfort. We are to exhort, that is, to bring forward a strong word of direction or correction if that is needed. You have to do the correction part very tactfully, because most of us are not, the only one most of us need to deal with is correcting ourselves. But some who are in a teaching capacity may have to use the corrective word, where you see people really going off on the deep end, and to bring them back into alignment. So that would be the prophetic kind of gifts that we are all able of receiving. We can all speak a positive word into people's lives and into our own lives, and this is very, very important. So those are some of the ways that I can think of at the moment as I'm considering this this topic. Now, there's also two forms of energy that, let's say, inspire utterance or give us the impetus to speak or to write. One of them is generated out of our own human biomagnetism, our electromagnetic fields of thought and feeling and will and personal experience and generally human level consciousness. Sometimes these are called Siddhi powers, S-I-D-D-H-I, Siddhi, which is a Sanskrit word, which means the powers that arise from sadhana. Sadhana is the Sanskrit word, which means spiritual practice. So when you engage in any form of spiritual practice, you'll notice that certain abilities just naturally come along with refining yourself and attuning yourself. You do begin to see things at a deeper level and hear things at a deeper level. You become more sensitive to the impressions of the spiritual worlds that surround us. You begin to have visions and a certain degree of supernatural powers. The yogis could, for example, those lamas, the leaping lamas of Tibet, they could run for days in these great big bounding leaps, cover great miles of distance and not be at all tired. They would get in that zone, so to speak, and they could just go indefinitely. The tumo, the ability to wrap their bodies in wet sheets and sit out in frozen areas, you know, very, very cold areas, and warm the sheets by their bodily heat. That is another Siddhi. Sitting in a lotus position on the top of a lake or walking on water. These would, again, be a Siddhi, which some of the yogis can do. Many, many yogic powers. These generally are generated out of your own biodynamic field, your energy field, and these would be called the psychic material energies. And then there's a higher energy, which is not generated from our spiritual sadhana or spiritual yogic practices, but is actually gifted to us. It falls upon us. It is poured out upon us. It is, we are endued with it or endowed with it or anointed with it. And this is the energy of the Shekinah. Some people call it the Shekinah, but the correct Hebrew is Shekinah. And that is the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKadosh. Kadosh, the spirit of holiness, the breath of holiness. And this energy is non-inflictive. You can't control it, manipulate it, grab at it. It comes like a dove, and like a dove, it softly, gently lights upon you. And when it does, you find yourself doing the works that Jesus did. Jesus was a prime example of someone who was operating in the Holy Spirit. In fact, he pictured the higher way that we are to operate. And when he ascended and was taken back by the Jerusalem command, he was taken up in a ship, a cloud of glory, or a Merkaba. And the Holy Spirit at that time, 10 days later actually, was returned to humanity so that once again we could have direct access to the Spirit of the living God, and it wasn't going to just operate through a prophet here and a prophet there, but all of humanity, that all of humanity would have access directly to the Spirit of the living God. So that's called the charismatic outpouring that's happening now on the planet. The word charismatic comes from the Greek word charis, which means the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These gifts would be the ability to resurrect the dead, which is happening in so many cases in Africa and areas, different areas of the third world particularly, because they have much greater faith over there in many cases. And also, they don't have the doctors and the access to medical assistance like we do here. So miraculous healings, the regrowing of amputated limbs, the restoration of blind eyes to sight, the restoration of hearing in the deaf and speech in the dumb. And as I said before, thoroughly documented cases of people being resurrected from the dead. In some cases, those who had been dead like Lazarus for several days. So this is an operation of the supernatural power of the Shekinah or the Holy Spirit that's being poured forth at this time on all flesh. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of sanctification that cleans us up from inside out and begins to make us very godlike and Christlike, so indeed we can walk and do the greater works that Jesus was able to do. So far as I'm aware in my studies, the Lord Jesus the Christ is the first of the masters to ever resurrect his dead body by the power of the Shekinah, which actually was the power of immortal life being restored back to the planet, because we had come under the curse of death when the Atlantean root race fell in the story of the garden. The garden actually was in Atlantis. So we have that restoration of our original divine state of immortality restored by the action of Jesus actually resurrecting his dead body by the Shekinah fire. And we asked Sai Baba when we were with him, Sai Baba being very omniscient, we asked him, was it a physical resurrection or was that his light body? And Sai Baba said, no, Jesus raised his physical body. He restored his physical body to life. So he actually did die, and he actually did resurrect his body, which was exactly what the scriptures said he would do 1,000 years before he even was born on the earth. So it's pretty amazing when you look at the accuracy of some of these ancient prophets. In fact, David in the Psalms and Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Yeshua, or Jesus Emmanuel, was born, prophesied hundreds and hundreds of totally fulfilled prophecies that Jesus and Jesus alone in all of history fulfilled. There were 323 prophecies that were fulfilled, most of them from Isaiah and Psalms, a couple from Daniel and a few other places, but most of them were from the prophet Isaiah and the prophet and King David. So we have those ancient Vedic seers, and Vedic seers go back even older than the ones I'm speaking of in the Bible, so I won't get into that this evening, but they were amazing too. I mean, they could see the destiny of, in the case of the sage Bhrigu, he could record the astrological destinies of every single human being on the entire planet. I mean, who can comprehend such a consciousness? But again, they were not living in the age of the Iron Age or the Kali Yuga such as we are, but they were living in the Golden Age and the Silver Age and those other ages that went before this particular root race and age. So anyway, we are being returned to the cycle of light. We are returning to the Adam Kadmon, the original divine image and similitude of our pre-fallen state. Our bodies will put on incorruptibility. They will be changed through the shifting of gravitational flux lines, over-self overlays, and various light fields that are being changed and transmuted and realigned to a higher program of light by the 70 brothers and sisters of brotherhood and sisterhoods of light that are working with humanity in this particular universe and solar system and galaxy. It's a vast, vast program that's being worked out. Every single one of us will, at some point in our cosmic journey, have that glorious return in a twinkling of an eye to our immortal, true, divine state of physicality. And yes, we're not going to be a spook floating around the air. We're going to see a whole light, full spectrum being that goes from the monochromatic black and white cube of the human limited light realms to the Ein Sof of the superluminal, full spectrum, whole light being, beingness that we are designed and have been designed from the very get-go to embody. So, let's see, what else can I tell you, good people? I hope you understood a little bit more clearly how some of this information gets to us from the forces of light, how to prepare yourself to be a good receiver. Well, keep the static out of your mind. If you have so many thoughts going on in your mind, it's very difficult to receive clearly. It's as clear coming through you as you are clear. What keeps you clear is staying current with your spiritual practice, in correct fellowship with your fellow man. No grievances, no strife and disharmony in your grid. You have to work at peace and forgiveness, and most of all, an open heart of love. Love God, love yourself, love your fellow man, love the world around you, live your life as a blessing, be full of praise and gratitude, and all of that is a way to raise your vibrations to a very, very high level. The more you hang out in those higher levels of divine prayer and praise and worship and celebration and gratitude, the more you will feel the anointing, the descent of the energies of the Holy Spirit upon you. And that anointing, which we call the word for that in Greek is Christ or Christos, means the embodying of the principle of love wisdom. We're in a second ray universe, and this universe has as its divine directive to know God as love. So we come under the energy of synthesis, which is called love wisdom. And as we move into the perfectioning of our human embodiment, we come into that unified field of divine oneness and love, which we call Christ consciousness. So that's what we're in process of doing. We're returning to a state which, in highest truth, we've never left. But the vehicles that we have densified into the deepest and darkest of material manifestation, that is the third density, carbon-based molecular consistency that forms our physical body, we have condensed light in its most, in its densest possible compression. And so as we decompress and expand and bring that energy up into the higher vibratory frequency, that's what we are calling the return to our divine state, the restoration from the fall, the ascension. There are many metaphors for that, but it's a raising of our vibration back to the resonant field of love and truth and divine eternal life. We're in a marvelous time. We're also in a time when we're seeing the two energies of the spiritual energy and the energy that is the polar opposite of the desire to goodwill. We have the desire to goodwill, and we have the energy, which would be the desire to ill will. And those two forces are battling for the human mind. So the battlefield really is in the human mind, human ideologies, human value, human consciousness per se is the battlefield for these two waging forces. In another spiritual discipline, they're referred to as the Ek and the Tao. Ek meaning the energy and power of the one God, the positive. And the Tao would be the time-devouring spirit of darkness, entropy, and ignorance. And that is often referred to as the evil one, the devil, or the ego. And so you have these two forces that are causing the different outpicturings in the world. At the same moment that the world seems to be getting more and more and more dark and evil and chaotic, at the same time you're also witnessing the time of the greatest spiritual renewal and revival. It's estimated in the last 2,000 years, the time we're in now, there's the greatest spiritual revival taking place across the planet. Literally millions and millions and millions of people are being spiritually reborn and revived into a new walk and intimacy in relationship to the Lord. They're discovering the Lord within their hearts. They're evoking the Lord into their hearts. They're receiving the Lord into their hearts. And they are transcending the limitations that keep us stuck in a dysfunctional way of living and operating in life. When you release your faith, when you're able to walk by faith and not by sight, you are truly empowered to call forth the things right out of the invisible. And your faith gives them the absolute substance and the absolute proof of their existence. Because as you hold and postulate that particular thought without any wavering, without any doubt, with full faith, whatever you have focused on will manifest. And the stronger your faith and the more congruency you have between your faith and your thoughts and your words and your actions, the more instant that manifestation will take place. You're beginning to learn the very rudimentary approach to this and a teaching that's just hit the world called The Secret. And that only deals with the law of attraction, which is the most basic and fundamental of the astral plane laws. But each plane, bear in mind, has higher and higher and more different laws. Every dimensional plane has totally different laws that govern it. So The Secret is a good place to start. But really, whatever you deposit in your heart, and that means whatever you take in through your eyesight, through your hearing, through what you read and think about in your mind and contemplate, and the people that you have in your life, all that input goes into your heart chalice and eventually comes out your mouth and eventually comes out into the world that you call your life. So output equals input, and that's why it's so very, very important at this time to speak the highest words, think the highest thoughts, have the highest quality behavior and lifestyle that truly outpictures a son of God, a B'nai Or, which you are. You are a B'nai Or, a son of light. And when I say son, I don't mean a male. I mean proactive, proactive life. And speaking of which, spirit, the higher spiritual realms are not passive. You know, this old metaphor of sitting on a cloud and playing the harp after you transition as a bunch of hooey. What you actually do is move into constantly unfolding creational realms of ever unfolding divine creative programs. You're a co-worker with God, and you go forth from one level of creative manifestation to the next, but you never hang up your work clothes and say, well, it's all over. No, it's never over. We're eternal laborers, as it were, in the divine plan. And not that it's difficult, because the labor that we speak of is the labor of light and life and love and joy and ever-expansive divine bliss, divine ecstasy. It's glorious. It's not drudgery like we assume it to be in this level. But in that process, you move into very dynamic fields of energy. That is why learning to move your spiritual inner awareness in an active spiritual form of meditation is very, very useful, because if you sit passive and wait for those energies to come into you and drop into you, so to speak, you're only going to go about as high as the upper top of the mental plane, but you're not going to get into the dynamic realms of the soul plane and beyond into the God world. You have to be very dynamic in that. That's why I have shared with you the Hu chant or the Anai Hu chant, because both of those chants will carry you beyond those passive energies, and you'll begin to move your inner awareness into the deeper divine realms within you, which then leads you into outer God worlds. Within is without, and without becomes within, or is projected from within. So this is some of the some of the wonders of the spiritual tapestries that we are navigating through right now, and discovering as we move through this enlightening and ascending process that we're all collectively in. Humanity is being worked with as a family of light. There are smaller family groupings of around 10 people each that form families of light also that will eventually seed consciousness and beings and other universes yet to be born. But for the time being, I want you to realize that you are working as part of a well protected and guarded and integrated family of light. We are a big, big family, and we're being woven into a Merkaba, which I have always called the collective Messiah. We're a collectivity of messianic energy or Christed energy, and as such, we will be moving as a family of light into another universe. And that is what we are in process of doing, and that's what we call the ascension or the transdimensional relocation, that I often language it that way when I write. But it's an exciting time, and as you keep your mind focused on where you're going and the things around you begin to fall away, be the visionaries, the way showers, the lighted ones that give strength and encouragement to those around you. Speak those words that empower people and help them to be the best they can be. And in the meantime, also do the same for yourself. Be your own best friend. Learn not to say words that are not true or that demean you or are disrespectful to you or anyone else. Speak words of light, words of love, words of comfort. And be the prophets of the Lord, the spokespeople of the Lord in these times. Those of you who may want to contact me can do so by emailing Commander Lady Athena, CMDR, Lady Athena, @AOL.com. Or you can just click on my show on the archive or on the menu, and it'll take you right to my webpage. I send the blessings of the United Ashtar Command. We are always with you. We are you. We walk with you on the streets of Earth many times. You don't even recognize how often those of us have walked amongst you. Some of us are born in human bodies, and some of us just come and go as we need to in serving our missions. We are one family. We are a family that loves the Lord, and we love humanity. That's really the bottom line, what we're all about. We are the cosmic people who simply love and serve this and a myriad of worlds. So I bless you again on behalf of the United Ashtar Galactic Command. I'm Commander Lady Athena, joined with my twin flame, Commander Ashtar, wishing you the blessings and the peace of the Most Radiant One, that you may walk in divine glory, and that as people see you, they will see the Father who sent you into this world. And they will know the Mother who manifests through you in the power of the Holy Spirit, Shekinah. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sevayot, Melo Kol Haaretz Kevodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory. And we will probably ring out the show with a Hu. Just take a deep breath and sing Hu. Hu.